and support for WMNF comes from our members and WEDU PBS. PBS's Speaking Grief documentary airs October 29th at 9 p.m. on WEDU, followed by WEDU's First Public Square, a virtual town hall series to help our community come together and support each other through these times. Thanks for listening to WMNF 88.5 FM, WMNF Tampa. You're listening to Art in Your Ear. My name is Joellen Schilke. Usually I'm the hostess who loves you the mostest. But Louis Armstrong has something to say about that.
Oh, it's tight like this.
No, it ain't tight like that either.
I say it is tight like this.
Let it be tight like that then.
Today to Art in Your Ear on WMNF, Louis Armstrong kicking off the show. On today's show, in just a few minutes, we're going to be talking to the wonderful Tiffany Rosano. There is a huge wordier-than-thou wordplay festival going on right now. We referenced it a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about what was going on with the Jack Kerouac House and the Jack Kerouac Fest, and I know they are part of it. So we'll be talking with Tiffany in a few minutes, and after that, lots of music and stuff to play for you. We've got brand new Local Natives with Sharon Von Etten. I've got a wonderful song from you from Salt and Michael Kiwanuka and all sorts of wonderful things. I was thinking a lot about the news, of course, and thinking about what's going on. And this Blow Monkeys song came to mind. I hope you enjoy listening to sort of a throwback. It's called It Doesn't Have to Be This Way.
It
I love that song so much. Blow Monkeys. I don't even know when that's from. From childhood. From a long time ago. So there you go. Let me see if I did this right. Tiffany, can you hear me?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me all right? I have you on speaker myself.
That's fine. Speaker might be a little bit not sound good for the listeners. Let's hear your wonderful voice. Anyway, so while you get set, we're speaking with Tiffany whose last name I always butcher, Rosano. Did I say it right? No.
Well, yeah, that's perfect.
Oh, yeah. All right. You're just being nice. I'm wordier than thou. And you are, you've launched a wordplay festival. So it's a virtual literary festival that you do every year, except not virtually. Talk a little bit about Read No More, Wordplay Festival, and kind of what you've got going on with Wordier Than Thou right now.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you know, we always have a million things going on and, you know, kind of, I guess going back just a little bit with like everybody with the pandemic, we really had to reevaluate and rework how we do everything because we're just so hands-on and so, you know, into seeing our writer and reader friends. And that was tough for us. So between like March and in July, we kind of pivoted pretty quickly. And every day, I want to say for like 120 more days, 120 plus events, we did a daily virtual event featuring mostly Florida authors. Every once in a while, we grabbed in a friend of ours from out of state and even kind of around the globe as well. And so we hosted these, daily virtual events just to kind of keep everybody connected. And, we're sticking with that virtual route. We're not doing it every day anymore. And this Wordplay Festival, it's actually the first one that, we've ever done. It's been in the works. It's supposed to be in person, taking place in Ybor City, just because, Ybor City is such a wonderful, beautiful, district. And we've, I've been wanting to do more in Tampa, and it just seemed like a fun excuse to just host a bunch of fun reading events. And using Ybor City as the backdrop more than anything else. And then I didn't really want to reschedule it entirely with, despite the pandemic. So we just sort of scaled it back and, took it virtual. And we've just booked a few different, fun readers and different events and stuff like that over the, we started on Wednesday. So Tuesday is the last day of it.
And then you had, you just had Paul Wilborn on.
Yeah, he kicked it up for us on Wednesday night.
Which is about as Ybor-y right now as you can get with his wonderful tales from that city and from the crazy days of Ybor.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. I love talking to him about that stuff. He has such a, just so many interesting, fun, cool stories. And what's funny is, we didn't really intend for it to be about Ybor City, this event. It was just more like, we're going to do this in Ybor City. And then I invited Paul and a couple of other people just to kind of add that Ybor touch to it, because I'm hoping we can do this in person.
And I would think that there is a, to a degree, Ybor is such an evocative place that it would be sort of a not helpful to ignore it, because it's so inspirational and has a lot of the things that Wordier Than Thou focuses on. It has a great history of supporting local artists and local arts and people who operate one or two standard deviations from the norm and are not giving you expected stuff. There's tales of mobsters in Ybor, and there's tales of, cults and just all sorts of things. And certainly Wordier Than Thou has been a great supporter of the horror community, the writers in the horror community. And I know it's not science fiction, but like world building community. You guys have done a lot with that. And it seems that Ybor's a really good inspiration for those communities as well as poets and other artists.
It's a lot of fun. We embrace anybody who tells, I find that a lot of, I think often you'll find kind of literary communities maybe turn their nose a little bit at genre writers, but we embrace it all. We like stories. We we're cool with horror. We're cool with sci-fi. We're good with anything that is a story.
And I have to say, my pandemic reading, at first I couldn't really read books in March and April. I was just too sketched out by everything. And now, of course, the usual escape mode has kicked in. But I've tended towards mysteries, and not mysteries that are like fluffy mysteries, but ones that are really chewy and tell me a lot about life. And that's the thing about genre writing, is that there's ways that it can approach a subject that is right out of a different direction and really explore. You can really feel that things are explored within a genre that may not be explored in straightforward, like a straightforward fiction or nonfiction piece. You can sort of go at it differently. So I will always support genre writers. Well, will you highlight some of the events that you've got coming up that you really, really, really want people to know about with the Wordplay Festival?
Sure, yeah. So we have a lot of interesting local writers. I mean, there's just so many wonderful local writers around here anyway. So tonight I have some of them pulled up over on Facebook just so I can remember. And everything is virtual, everything is streaming, everything is free. And even if you don't feel like logging into Zoom, because I know it's a pain in the butt, it's going to be streaming on our Facebook page. Like, just go to our page and it'll show right up for you. So,
and I just want to mention to, one second, I just want to mention, listeners, that you can go online right now to the Art in Your Ear Facebook. If you search Facebook for Art in Your Ear, follow us, but also you can get the link to what Tiffany is telling you about. And then after the show, there'll be more links up there. So you can just sort of make it just a one-click, two-click thing and go right to everything that we're talking about. So sorry for interrupting.
Oh, no, no, you're fine. And so tonight we have two great authors. We have Gianna Russo. Obviously, we're talking about her, and Brian Petcash, and they're going to be talking about the power of place, which, again, you know, I think, kind of going back to that, we were going to have this set in Ybor City, and now we can. It kind of really fits, I think, with, you know, kind of making up for the fact that we can't be there. And obviously, Gianna is such a Tampa author, you know, and I mean, which she's now the wordsmith, the first
wordsmith. The official wordsmith, yeah. Which is congratulations. It's pretty exciting. So,
And then Brian also, he's a Tampa writer, but his short story collection is set in Ohio, where he's from. I think it was Cleveland. So two very distinct, and he kind of had a cool approach with his stories as well. They're like set in different periods of time, so they're not, and kind of goes through the history of the city. So they're both going to be talking about their work and kind of creating that the power of place. Tomorrow morning, I hope I say her name correctly. You know, when you just see people's names in writing and you don't ever actually say them out loud.
It's my life.
Well, yeah, I'm sure it is. Betty Villamontes. She does work with like the Lion's Eye Institute, but she's also an author, and she's from Cuba, and she came over here as part of the Mariel Boatlift. And all of her books are, they're fiction, but they're really rooted in her own experiences and also the experiences of others around her. Like, I think she's written one that's inspired by her, you know, her in-laws' story and stuff like that. So really interesting, like, kind of, you know, Cuban, American, Latin, and sort of history woven into her fiction. We have I don't know if you know Ross Tarr at all. Santa, he is truly, he does Santa, you know, every holiday season, but he's a storyteller, really. And he runs the, Storytellers of Old Tampa Bay. So they're gonna, not quite sure what they're doing. They're just, they're gonna do some fun, like wordplay themed stories. They're gonna kind of just play around and see what they come up with tomorrow afternoon.
I just want to mention that I think what you're going to talk about next, or hopefully, will be Richard and, excuse me, talking about Richard and Marielle and Di Pietra. And when you were talking about that, you know, Ybor City, that for a long time they have been not just collecting memorabilia and stories and sort of collecting people with Ybor, but then they've been taking it and making sure that it remains part of the local history, that other people are aware of it. And so I just want to give a shout out to them, because I just think that they're really good about making sure that local history isn't forgotten.
Yeah, they're both amazing, and they both have such you know, Richard is from here, and you know, his roots go back to Tampa, and he's had such a long history in like theater here as well. And then Mary Ellen, you know, spent a significant amount of her adult life here after marrying, you know, after they got married. I Am a Cuban Sandwich is their new, they have a, I don't know if you know this, but they have a book out now, and they've been working on it for so long. You know, whenever I talk to them, it's an update on where the book is at and what's happening, and kind of, you know, it started as a theater project for them, and they turned it, you know, took it from the stage and turned it into a book form, and that just came out, I want to say, like 2 months ago over the summer. I know they've been, you know, in the middle of moving and working on some other stuff. So I think ours is like the first official event that they're doing with it.
Nice.
So, and they're long time friends of mine since.
But now what will you talk about with them?
Well, there's millions of things to talk about.
So I want to take a little pause in talking specifically about the events and ask, what were you looking for when you wanted to schedule and put together a program with different, knowing that it was going to be virtual, and there is sort of a fatigue that people have in doing things virtually. So one, yay, that you don't have like 10 events a day, that it's sort of spread out. But besides that, what were you sort of looking for? What was your... what were the points that you wanted to hit that were really important?
Initially when we first planned this, it was, we've done so many weird offbeat events over the years, and then, maybe we stop them for whatever reason and do something different. So I thought it might have been a fun time to reintroduce some of those, like Fiction Live, and we were supposed to do like an all like women noir at the bar. I am going to do that, just not this time around. And then, around the same time as I was pulling all the last minute stuff from this together, I started I got a new job and started working more. So we turned the format back to more of like a single author kind of conversation, maybe a short reading to make it a little bit easier to manage, I think. We are going to go back to all of those fun events just after, things settle down a little bit. And I think I was just looking for diverse experiences, specifically, here in Tampa Bay area, looking at people who had just had interesting experiences, roots here, and from different standpoints. And then I tried to reach out to some of our organization friends, and that's where like the Kerak group comes in tomorrow, Sunday, and Roth and the storytellers come in. So
for what was I going to say? I started listening to you, and I lost my train of thought. That's what you get for listening to people. But one of the things that Wordier Than Thou has been, I think, very good at is introducing authors to a wider audience, local authors that are there's no reason why they shouldn't have a wider audience. They are good writers. They're willing to promote stuff like that. Is there something that you have to do as, because you are also a writer, of course, and an editor quite a bit, I'm sure. Is there something that you have to do with authors to get them to sort of take that leap a little bit forward to get to the point where more people can read them, more people will know about them, to sort of have them commit more to the part of writing that doesn't include actually writing?
Right. And that's such an important part of it. And I think a lot of writers tend to get to the point where their book is done and their book is out, and maybe don't always. I mean, some are better than others about, promoting their work and doing the marketing. And, that's like a whole other job, basically. And a lot of writers aren't necessarily like wired to do that and do it well. So I try not to, I recognize when there's like somebody who has put good work out and I want to help promote them, but I also know that there are people who are not comfortable maybe reading or being in the limelight, or maybe they need a little bit of time to kind of get used to that idea. So I don't push anybody. I just remind them that we're here for it.
Well, then on the other hand, you've been doing, annual workshops and stuff and doing ones. And I think it was 2 years ago, you were here on the show with someone who was talking about, this is how you get and work with an agent. This is how, right. This is how you do that, which is such an, I honestly have no idea about agents. I had a voice agent 30 years ago, and that was a disaster. So I wouldn't know how to do that. And so I imagine that there's a lot of people that don't know how to do that. A little harder to do in this virtual way and stuff like that. But and listeners, I want to remind you, I'm speaking with Tiffany Rosano, who founded Wordier Than Thou, and they have a great wordplay festival that just started this week and goes on for the next few days. It's a week long, and it's all virtual and online. And Wordier Than Thou has been promoting and helping artists for years and years. Does that, like knowing what has worked and not worked in the past, how does that play into then translating into creating a virtual festival?
It's been interesting trying to figure out, a lot of what we do tends to involve, like, interaction, and it's not always, like, you know, for instance, we had a murder mystery that we wrote for New Year's Eve, and, you know, those kinds of things that you can't really necessarily do quite the same way virtually. So it's been trying to figure out what works best, you know, on the screen, I guess. I don't know. And, I mean, these author chats work well. I think people, even with the Zoom fatigue, I think people still enjoy finding ways to connect with their writer and reader friends. And I've had so many events where people invited, like, their friends and their family to join, and they hadn't seen them or talked to them in years. Not years, but, like, months, you know, or they hadn't, like, seen them. Like, maybe they've talked a little bit or texted, but they hadn't, like, done a video chat yet. So those were some of the interesting events, too. There's fatigue, but I don't think it's as bad as people think. I think I burned myself out this summer by doing one every single freaking day.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, no, that was insane. But I think keeping it simple simpler the better, and we're not very good at simple, so we kind of had to simplify things a little bit to make it work during this pandemic.
Well, I know you had asked me, and then I just completely ignored that you asked me to do a book tour, right? Is that what you had said to me? A bookcase tour, bookshelf tour, something like that.
Oh, yeah. That was one of the things.
Which I saw.
Those were fun. I want to bring those back.
Right, and I saw someone else do it. And of course, I mean, that's part of the good part about Zoom, all these different things, is that you get to see people's houses. And I think we're all very nosy about other people's houses. And so that was something I just loved, like, watching that and seeing, like, oh, this is how this person whose books I enjoy, whose, you know, if I've seen them in public, I enjoy them very much. Oh, that's how they live. And that's great. That's fantastic. So, so there are certain things that lend themselves to Zoom, which would not even be possible.
Yeah. And those were really fun. And as you said, people just really love to snoop.
Oh yeah.
And people also love to know what other people are reading, especially, you know, folks who have any sort of, you know, clout in the community, I think. And, but yeah, people really like that. And we tried to, you know, like, these author chats are really wonderful. We tried to, like we did a Tell Us About Your Quarantine, mm-hmm. where we would ask writers to tell us about, you know, what are you reading? What are you watching? What are you listening to? What are you doing? How are you keeping sane? And they turned into little mini, like, group therapy sessions some week. They were funny. They were great. I mean, funny in a good way. I got a lot of really good feedback on that, you know, people took away a lot from those, that it really helps them sort of process what was happening, especially very early in it. And then we started, like, a publishing salon series for a little bit too, where we talked to some folks about, you know, how they first got published and, you know, the steps they took and what that experience was like for them. I'm trying to think of what else we did. We did a few different things. Every once in a while I would introduce something different just to mix it up. We did Nerdier Than Now virtual, actually. That was fun.
The Nerdier Than Now is very interesting.
Yeah, we were supposed to do that at Emerald City, and that would have been our third or fourth year of it, I think. And obviously, there's no way that was happening in July.
I know you have you've started a new job, and it's a job that involves, you know, writing and reading and editing and stuff like that. But so within this whole context of Wordier Than Thou and working and dealing with all this, what do you, how do you handle your personal output?
Yeah, honestly, I don't have much time to write for myself. I'm on deadline. Like, I've been a journalist forever. I'm amazed by the journalists who are able to do that. I was just saying this to somebody yesterday, the day before, that I am in awe of the people who can be on deadline every day and then still also manage to put books out there and publish their own work. But I'm on deadline for articles every single day. I'm okay with that because I love what I do. That's not a problem with mm-hmm. me necessarily. And Wordier is actually kind of a creative outlet as far as, like, you know, producing events and stuff like that. It's
right.
Fun for me.
I
taps into that.
I prefer having a deadline than not having a deadline. I'm one of those writers that I want someone to say, I would like you to have this to me by such a date, and I would like to have it to be this long. And I'm like, I'm in. Somebody says, hey, could you do something about this at some point? And of course I don't do it. So, and I'm sure that I'm not the only person. My listeners will let me know whether or not they're that type of writer. I just want to break in and say hi to Johnny and hi to Lou. Thank you for listening to Art in Your Ear on WMNF 88.5 FM. We're speaking with Tiffany Rosano from Wordier Than Thou that has the Wordplay Festival going on right now. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email dj@wmnf.org, or you can always shoot us a text, 813-433-0885. Going back to some of the different things that you've got going on, which is multiple, can you usually... You guys have done sort of Halloween-related things. I think last year, was that when you were out at, by the shuffleboard court? Was that last year? Can't remember. It's a blur.
No, I don't think we did anything. I don't remember.
But I just... so usually you do Halloween-y things. So is there a Halloween-y thing this year that you're doing?
Right. So our big, sort of one of our signature events, like overall... is Read No More. It's the tours of the house where we stage plays in each room. We rent a home in Gulfport. This would have been our fifth year. And basically, we set a different play in a different decade with a different murder in each room. And you kind of tour from room to room to room. And again, going back to, we had to really figure out what the heck we were doing this year. So we're trying something a little different. And we're going to do a virtual tour. We're going to pre-film everything, I think next week. And we're going to host Zoom screening parties. So, you know, people can purchase like a ticket that's a donation to Wordier, and then we will screen like this tour of Camp Wordier. So kind of taking it back a little bit, we were supposed to have that murder mystery we did for New Year's Eve was so much fun, and we got such great feedback on it that we were like, let's do all of the murder mysteries. This is great. We can just, like, build our entire organization around, like, murder mystery events, and that'll be totally fine. So we started planning a summer camp, like an 8 slasher flick summer camp one called Camp Wordier. And we were going to go camping at KOA for a weekend and build this whole, like, murder mystery spooky, weird, paranormal story into it. That was supposed to happen in September, and we've rescheduled that for March. So when we were playing around with what the storyline could possibly be for Read No More this year, I was like, why don't we do like a little bit of weird, like, I don't know, world building in our own little weird world and make it present-day Camp Wordier and kind of tour the abandoned camp. And so that's what we're going to be doing. We actually, like, rented a cabin at KOA for, like, a week from now. And we're just going to film it there, toss it together. None of us know how to edit anything. We'll learn as we go. And then we're going to just host a bunch of Zoom screenings. And we're going to invite some, horror and paranormal author friends to read at each event as well.
Oh, my God. That sounds really fun.
So...
That sounds fun. And yes, I think that you are getting a lot of your creativity out with Wordier Than Thou. No problem. So that starts on October 30th when people can watch it. It's the 30th, the 31st, Halloween, of course, and the 1st.
Right.
And then there's several.
It's a Sunday.
Right. So there's a few screenings each day, each evening or each day that people can choose from to fit their time slot. So is there anything else from the, because you have so much, is there anything else coming up that you want to make sure you highlight?
Yeah, I guess that's the big stuff. I'm sure we'll be doing some more. We've just been waiting to see what's going to happen with some of the different big, holiday markets and stuff that we usually go to, which seems like they're not really quite happening quite the same way. So we might do some holiday stuff. We're working on our publishing arm of what we do, the Florida Writers Project. So we have our first book coming out. I'd say by mid-December, end of December, Tennessee Murder Ballad by Heather Jones. She's a USF instructor, so we've been, you know, kind of slowly trying to pull that together. Call as I was talking to you.
They're calling to say how great you sound.
Well, maybe. 813 area code. Who was it? Yeah, so we've been working on, you know, those publishing projects a little bit. And again, it's one of those things where we don't really know what we're doing, and we're just sort of making, I mean, there's just so many tools and resources out there to figure it out as you go along.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really, it's a, you know.
And I do want to mention, on the 18th is sort of that coming together of the Wordplay Festival and the Friends of Jack Kerouac with the Satori in Paris book discussion. And that is Sunday at 7 p.m.?
Yep, there we go.
So, and just so many more. There's one other one which you may or may not want to talk about. You have an election night watch party.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I forgot to take that one down.
Oh, okay.
Because I got my new job, I'm going to be
working,
covering, election stuff in my coverage areas. So we're going to probably do that, something similar for New Year's Eve or the inauguration night. So it was going to be like just a weird little variety show with sketches.
Right, okay. Right, because I realize I'm pretty sure that election day and night, I want to be either out on the water or deep in the woods somewhere without any type of anything.
We were just like, let's just get drunk in my backyard and leave all of our very talented friends in to do like a sketch or a reading from their home. And then it would be like a small group of us.
Really? Are you sure it just wouldn't devolve into just one sort of long shrieking pent up thing? Sorry. Maybe I'm projecting. I might be projecting. And thank you for all this. As a nonprofit in the age of pandemic, as also in the age of cuts to the arts, no matter what, and in the age of everything being up in the air, how is that part? How is functioning? Does it feel like you are a nonprofit organization, or do you feel like you're a one-woman show?
I mean, we're a nonprofit organization. I mean, I think you'll know probably. I mean, I have a great board and some great friends who work with us. Off together most of it on my own, but people are very generous with their time and, you know, like, and very helpful. Like Austin Collins, one of our board members, wrote the script for Read No More. And, you know, we actually went to KOA a few weeks ago and walked in and gave them a very weird speech of, you know, I rented a cabin and we're going to make a movie. But we weren't really sure how it's all. So can we just walk around for like an hour? And they're like, stop talking. Just go do. We don't have to. So our board members are always willing to pitch in.
Right. That's great.
So, you know, they're going to be background actors and, you know, looking over scripts or, you know, during Nerdier Than Now, everybody jumped in to host and, you know, Cole's hosting tonight's event with Gianna and Brian. So as far as funding and stuff, we've never had any money, so nothing's any different for us.
Right.
And that's fine. We're okay. I mean, you know, I like that we can produce so much with very little.
Right.
Because if we were relying on that funding like that, we would never be able, you know, it would mean that we would probably have had to stop doing a lot of what we were doing.
Right. So, everything would be focused towards raising money.
Yeah.
So. I hear ya. Well, Tiffany, thank you so much I know that you have a million things going on, and I appreciate that you took the time out when you have to be doing some other stuff to chat with us so our listeners can hear what's going on. The best, if someone's not on Facebook or is not a social media person, what is the best way to find out more about Wordier Than Thou and your different events, the Read No More camp, and all those different things?
Sure. Just wordierthannow.com, that's updated with Read No More stuff right now. And then also, I don't know, for people who don't like Facebook and stuff like that, we have a meetup group, too, that actually has, like, a pretty good number of folks in there who just maybe don't really go on Facebook or Instagram or anything like that. So
okay,
we reach people that way, and that's, you know, free to sign up and join.
All right, so it's just Wordier Than Thou meetup?
Yeah.
All right, dear listeners, I will post links to those, not just on our Facebook page, but also on our page on Art in Your Ear on the WMNF.org website, to all of that stuff. Well, thank you, Tiffany, so much. You're just the best.
I appreciate you, your support and you thinking of us, and thank you for helping us spread the word about our literary nonsense.
Sure, and I promise that if you do decide to do the bookcase tours again, I will clean my house and dust off everything into one for you. Yeah, it's a good motivator to clean.
We should do that. Yeah, we should bring those back. Maybe you're the inspiration for reviving those.
You should bring those back. Just with a soft, like, Vaseline on the lens. So let me put Vaseline on the lens so no one can see the mess. Well, thanks a lot. And here I've got a song for you, though not got to cheer up for you because you sound pretty darn cheery, but got to cheer up with doing stuff like that. This is Cotton Jones with Got to Cheer Up. And we've been speaking with Tiffany Verzano from Wordier Than Thou. Thanks a lot, my friend.
All right. Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
This is a public service message from WMNF. Whatever your generation, but especially Gen Zs and millennials, this fast approaching election is going to be the most important and pivotal in your lifetime, if not all of U.S. history. Everyone has to vote. Text your friends, vote. Check Florida's rules for early COVID-safe voting options. Check Florida's rules on voting by absentee mail, early voting, or in person, but do vote. Your vote matters more now than ever.
stand by our side, side as we fight. Screaming out water and light.
Yo, all around the world, my sisters and my brothers hurt. So I start this verse with a heartbeat and Mother Earth. I say a prayer and put it down for what it's worth. For those who oppose and only see color first. My two sons, my daughter and wife, and the father of lights. I started the fight, slaughtering mics, ready to die like a martyr tonight. With my fist to the sky, saying water is life. And yo, it takes a nation of millions to hold this back. This is a treaty land. We see these scams, they only know the facts. Evil collapses and cowers in fear. The hour is near. Let the world unite with the power of prayer. Yeah, my family rise, defy gravity. We gon' keep on rhyming and climbing and shine happily. A masterpiece. Put my whole body glistening. Hey, yo, we still here. Is there anybody listening?
We need a miracle. Spirit of the ghost day. Light up this prayer that's in my hand. Take it to the most high. Oh, we need a blessing tonight. Stand by our side, side as we fight. Screaming out water and life. A miracle. Spirit of the ghost day. Light up this prayer that's in my hand. Take it to the most high.
And thonka. We in the valley of the beast with these wicked monsters. When we trying to keep it peace and they take us under. Is it better or Beretta underneath my bomber? We was pleading to the governors and the Obamas. We ain't even wanna lie, just some clean water. Just a little bit of life for our sons and daughters. If a penny for your thoughts, then I'm throwing quarters. Cause they never think about all the people poorer. Only rich and the white get the right to water. If we fold or if we fight, we becoming martyrs. Throwing federal charges and Lakota lawyers. I salute the true courage of our red warriors. Against our laws, my people pushing forward. Wish we had them at the pilgrims at the border. With a travel ban, pushed them back into the water. Put a sign up on the rock saying don't loiter. Or maybe a tall wall would have been in order. Cause we gave them liberty and they gave us slaughter. No land of the free for my forefathers. Now we're praying for miracles with tobacco offers. To a power that's higher than any man-made office. As the prophecy unfolds, as the winds and losses. God trumps all self-proclaiming bosses. In the end, when they squandered all the earth's resources, they will learn that their children cannot eat their coffers.
We need a miracle. Spirit of the ghost day. Light up this prayer that's in my hand. Take it to the most high. Oh, we need a blessing tonight. Stand by our side, side as we fight. Screaming out water and life. A miracle. Spirit of the most high. Light up this prayer that's in my hand. Take it to the most high. We need a blessing tonight. Stand by our side, side as we fight.
Leaving and arrive. I just wanna be here at the
And that is the new Sharon Van At Van Sharon. Oh, Joe Ellen, just try and speak. That is the new Sharon Van Etten, our native local natives with Sharon Van Etten. Let's see, in the background, we've got some Ezra Collective. Space is the place while we talk about some stuff going on. Well, one thing going on is did you know that donating your car, boat, or motorcycle to WMNF helps keep the station running? It's an important revenue source for us. Donating is easy. You can simply call 1-888-966-3885 or visit WMNFcar.org to schedule your free pickup. And speaking about donating, next Friday, Art in Your Ear has a fundraiser. We are going to be raising money to keep the station thriving. And yes, it is less than 2 months after our last fundraiser. But the good news is we don't have another one for many, many, many months. So this will be your last chance to give to Art in Your Ear this calendar year. If you would like to donate early, that would be fantastic. The more that we get in ahead of time, the less chatting we have to do about it. Our goal will probably be somewhere between $2,000 and $3,000. If you have not donated to Art in Your Ear in this year, please, please, please give it to us. This has been a struggle of a year. It's a struggle. Not that you need to know that, but it'd be nice. Excuse me. It'd be nice not to have a bad fun drive on top of the rest of the stuff. So I would love to come in and be able to thank you on the air. I would love that. That would be just the absolute gift. You give what you can. It might be $5 a month, and that is fantastic. It might be $50 a month. That's also fantastic. Whatever you can do. Let's see, stuff going on around USF just sent us an email with a couple of cool things in there. Of course, both virtual. You know, one thing that I didn't know how it would work in the virtual world are dance concerts and seeing dance, because to me, being in the room with dancers, that energy is what makes it so special. Though a few weeks ago, I watched a dance performance that was going on in St. Pete online, and it was great because the camera got in right up to people and completely changed the way that I thought it would be. So tomorrow night and Sunday night, there's a fall dance concert from USF, and it is sounds like it's going to be really cool. I'm sorry, tomorrow night and then Sunday afternoon. Dance can reveal the world around us, as they say, as they like caps in this thing, as it empowers the body to embrace the time. Anyway, you can see a stream dance performance with works by Andrew Carroll, Bliss Kallmeyer, and Andy Scott, along with Sadie Lemker and Alexander Jones. And I will put that link up on the Art in Your Ear Facebook page, as well as the Art in Your Ear page on WMNF. Also going on, a really interesting show at the USF Contemporary Art Museum is their life during wartime, and they've been doing online conversations with different participating artists, and tonight they're having a conversation with Lisa Yuskovy. I'm not saying her name right, Yuskavage. And that starts, that's from 6 to 7:30. So you can dial in for that. If you go online to usfcontemporaryartmuseum.org, you can get all that information, but I'll also post it. Oh, you know, it reminds me, what I should tell you is that during October,